Up first, though, we get on board the telephone line and welcome in the voice of the New England Patriots on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. It's our friend Bob Soucy. Hello there, Bob.
Hello, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are things at Gillette today?
Well, things at Gillette today were pretty good. An uneventful day for the most part for the Patriots, which is good considering what's happening in several other NFL facilities in the last 24 to 48 hours. And, of course, a big game on Saturday night between the Pats and the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, did you have any inkling back, I think the last time we talked with you was late September, anything that you saw at that point early in the season that might have led you to believe they would go on the kind of run they're in the middle of right now?
Oh, absolutely, Rich. I knew it all along.
I knew it.
Faith never wavered. Well, I certainly thought that there was an opportunity that that still lay ahead for the team, that the Patriots had enough talent to contend for a playoff spot. I thought that based on the way they had played through the first six games when they were 2-4, they had more than held their own for the most part against some of the better teams in the league, including, I think, not only the defending Super Bowl champion, but a leading contender from the NFC. And yet there were critical stops they weren't making on defense. There were critical mistakes they were making on offense. But you figured, okay, if they clean those things up and they improve in a few areas, they can be competitive and give themselves an opportunity at least to make the playoff field, and that it would take some time for all the new pieces to meld and for chemistry to develop, really on both sides of the ball. And, the thing that I think you really hung your hat on early on, at least I did, was the fact that they had a young quarterback who was playing well, and in fact, as a rookie, was playing exceptionally well compared to his peers. But little did I know, little I think could anybody know, that the team would get on the kind of roll it's been on over the course of, the last 7-8 weeks. And on top of that the landscape of the AFC would open up the way it has. I mean, I think it's interesting that, the Patriots' unevenness early on coincided with kind of a similar start for a team like Kansas City. And then when Tennessee got rolling, they got hit hard, decimated by injuries.
Well, it's been an interesting season, to be sure. If parity is what they want, they should certainly be happy right now. I think I was reading the other day that this is the latest in several years that we've been into the season without anyone clinching a playoff berth yet.
Well, you have 26 teams, I believe, that are either in the playoff field right now or within a game as it stands right now of being in the playoff field. And, of course, they added a team in each conference this year with that seventh playoff spot. And in the longest season in NFL history, going to the 17-game, 18-week structure, here we are going into week 15, and very little, if anything, has been resolved yet. I mean, certainly there are some clear front runners, but when you look at the AFC, for example, you have three teams with 9 wins. And as good as things have gone for the Patriots, when we talk about the 7-game winning streak over the course of the last 8 weeks, they have games against Indianapolis, Buffalo, and at Miami. And we all know what the history is when the Patriots have to go to South Florida. So things can change dramatically over the course of this next month or so.
The defense has been such a key this season, and big play guys, J.C. Jackson has had another terrific year. Matthew Judon has been such a great addition. But who are a couple of what you would call unsung heroes of the defense?
Well, I think, when you look at the defense for the Patriots this year, J.C. Jackson and his interceptions, the takeaways is the first stat that really grabs your attention, one of the league leaders in interceptions, a team that didn't have a fumble forced and recovered for quite some time. And then, it seems like with regularity, they've been able to take the ball away from their opponents. But I think it all starts, like it always does in football, at the line of scrimmage. And so for me, I think about, someone who is getting more attention of late, like a Devon Godshaw, who's come on and had a very good game against Bills on the defensive line, but also someone like Lawrence Guy, who's been that steady presence in the interior defensively. And if you mentioned Judon as one of the newcomers, and of course he's got the sack statistics. When I look at the linebacking core, it took some time, it seems, for Dante Hightower to get his legs, but he brings the physical presence. Kyle Van Noy had a period of time when it looked like he was bothered by injury, but also kind of coming back to New England from Miami. took maybe a little longer than some of us anticipated for him to, you know, recapture his form of 2019 when he was such a pivotal part of a defense that got off to a great start. And I think he's been playing very, very well for the past play. But there's another linebacker to me. When you say unsung hero, I think Juwan Bentley
has had
a good year for the Patriots. You know, he's in his last year of his rookie contract. And this is a guy that Gerard Bale earlier this season said looks more athletic and quick. He's moving better on the field. And yeah, he's still somewhat of a liability in coverage, but he's a big physical linebacker, a good downhill linebacker. And I think he's had a really good year and has been more of a complete player, or at least approached more of a complete player than he's been in the past with this team. And, you know, he would be one guy that certainly qualifies. And, you know, a young man who was put on the spot in that Buffalo game, Miles Bryant. Because this is a kid who started on the practice squad this year after he was called up from the practice squad last season as an undrafted free agent rookie.
We're talking with Bob Soucy here on Downtown. You mentioned the quarterback, Mac Jones, has been so good. And I think what everybody's been impressed with has been his poise this year. He doesn't beat himself very much. And there were those few people out there, I think, who looked at the Buffalo game and said, that could destroy his confidence, that Coach Belichick didn't trust him to throw the ball. I thought the very opposite was true. I thought it was a great confidence builder for him to go out there and not have any turnovers and to make good decisions in that situation.
Well, there is certainly a lot that's put on the quarterback, whether you know a team is running or passing with an offense like the Patriots. Everything does run through him, and he had a lot of run checks to make at the line of scrimmage to make sure they were in the right play and they were going in the right direction to exploit whatever bubble there was in that Bills defense. And so, you know, he certainly was involved mentally, fully in every rep in that game. But I think for me, Rich, you know, when I look at Mac Jones and hear what his teammates have to say and just the way he's carried himself, you know, winning does seem to be more than the most important thing for him. With all apologies to the late Vince Lombardi, it's really the only thing for him as a measuring stick, you know, as a quarterback and as a goal for him this season. And I think you hear players like Ted Karras today, for example, say, you know, he's a great leader of men. And this is, you know, someone who's a veteran on this team. He's been a Super Bowl champion a couple of times. And last year played with Tua Tagovailoa in Miami, comes to New England, and now he's playing and blocking for a rookie quarterback out of Alabama, and Mac Jones. And he says that. And I think those words really resonate. And they speak to, you know, how Jones has earned the confidence and trust, and I think the respect more than anything, of veteran teammates, guys who've been around this program. We played with Tom Brady, played on Super Bowl championship teams, and that's because he's willing to do whatever is asked of him and really embrace his role. And the thing to me about, you know, Mac and his performance is that he's cut down on the number of mistakes, and when they've needed him to pass a lot and go toe-to-toe, he's more than held his own against Tom Brady and Dak Prescott for the most part. But I think of late, in a lot of ways, he's probably grown as a quarterback and as a professional when he's been asked to do less in the passing game. The Tennessee contest, for example, you know, he made some big plays in that game. And yet, at the same time, people looked at his body of work in that game and said, you know, that's kind of a disappointing performance overall. There were some mistakes as well. So, you know, I think about him. He's a young man who, as you said, you know, has shown a lot of poise. And more than anything to me, has been you know, willing to come in here and work hard, study hard, has an understanding of what it takes at a very young age in the NFL to play the position, but also to fill that position as a leader. And, you know, that comes along with you know, a lot of responsibilities, as you know, off the field and in that locker room in terms of you know, being charismatic presence, and he doesn't seem to have a charismatic personality at the podium, but from what you hear from his teammates, he certainly carries himself in a way that you know, there's a magnetism there in a way that earns their trust and confidence.
Well, the Patriots have got their winning streak, but the Colts have been playing pretty well also. 7 wins in their last 10 games. What do you think is their game plan? What will they try to do offensively against this opportunistic Patriot defense?
Well, Rich, I think there are a lot of similarities between these two teams. You know, first, you look at the seasons they've experienced. Both got off to slow starts. The Colts were 0-3, and then were 1-4. And they have won 7 of their last 9, and the 2 losses were the games in which they led by double digits, an overtime defeat against division rival Tennessee, and then a game in which they had a 10-point lead against Tampa Bay. And the Bucs wound up scoring late to win it by a touchdown, 38-31. And the thing about Indianapolis is they're a physical team, much like the Patriots, a very good offensive line, and a very good opportunistic defense themselves. They lead the league in turnovers, 29 takeaways as a defense that have led to 119 points for their offense. They have one of the best, if not the best, running back in the NFL right now, Jonathan Taylor, certainly the most productive when it comes to, you know, his touchdown production. 16 touchdowns rushing this year, 27 in his two seasons. He's the guy with 700-yard games this year. He's rushed for touchdown 10 straight. You know, and Carson Wentz fit in nicely under Frank Reich once again, reunited with his former offensive coordinator from Philadelphia. And for the most part, has protected the ball. He's had some costly turnovers, and some losses for them. But for the most part, has done a good job for them in that offense. And to me, I think the thing about Frank Reich, when you ask about strategy and their approach offensively, he's a lot like the Patriots coaching staff. He'll do whatever it takes to win. If it means handing the ball off to Jonathan Taylor and running it for 260-plus yards, as the Colts did in the rain in Buffalo in a blowout win, well, they're willing to do that. If the Patriots come out and play, you know, with multiple defensive backs, five, six defensive backs, and go away from their heavier personnel up front, well, then the Colts, you know, are going to run it. If the Patriots go with their base defense and a heavier defense up front to stop Taylor and company, the Colts will throw it. They did that early in that game against Tampa Bay.
Should we believe what's coming out of Indianapolis and the idea that they'll load up against the run and try to make Mac Jones beat them?
Well, I think the thing is, I mean, for every team, you want to force your opponent to be one-dimensional. Obviously easier said than done, particularly at the NFL level. But it's not unlike what the Patriots would try to do against, you know, a team like, for example, let me give you Cleveland. You know, the Browns moved up and down the field in that first series against the Patriots with relative ease, got a productive first series and took the lead. And then when the game was in Baker Mayfield's hands, it fell apart for Cleveland. And I think, you know, when you look at the Patriots, they are a run-dominant team. And, it's I think, an obvious statement to make that, you know, as a defense, you want to make them one-dimensional. I don't read into it as much as some, and I get it. I mean, it's part of our business to cling to and seize upon anything that could qualify for bulletin board material. And if we're not going to do it, I can guarantee you across the hallway here at Gillette Stadium, it's been done in the Patriots locker room. But you know, to me, I didn't make too much out of those comments. I mean, I think that it's an obvious strategy if you're the Colts, particularly in this environment, they're going to be at home. It's a dome stadium. They would expect to have an amped up crowd. They're back in the playoff field. They got a good defense. They can get after the quarterback. They force a lot of mistakes. Why wouldn't they want to take the ball out of Damian Harris's hands? Why wouldn't they want to take the ball out of Ramondre Stevenson's hands and try to force Mac Jones to make, you know, a mistake or two that swings the game in their favor? That's common sense to me.
Oh, it's not Manning Brady, but is the rivalry back a little bit with the Colts playing well?
Well, it's funny. This is the first meeting without Brady or Manning of the Patriots-Colts since 1997, and the quarterback of the Colts team against Drew Bledsoe was Jim Harbaugh.
Wow.
Their coach was Lindy Infante, and the Patriots coach was Pete Carroll. That's how long ago.
Wow.
You have to go. The Patriots have dominated the series of late. When people talk about the rivalry, the Patriots have won the last nine, and I think out of the last eight games, they scored 30-plus points in every one of those. So it's really been remarkable how lopsided it's become. And as you know, some of those matchups were in the playoffs. Pat's had a lot of success foiling Andrew Luck and confusing him, despite his brilliant start to his career. I think in Frank Reich's case, though, I think his team is tough. I think he's consistent. I go back to the 2018 game, the last time these teams met. I was so impressed. The Colts came into that game a Thursday night. They were really struggling. They were on their way to a 1-5 start. They were without five starters. They lost a bunch of players during the course of that night on a short week on the road to injury. So they were really decimated, and they continued to fight hard in that game. And the Patriots won with relative ease, but I thought at the same time the Colts showed something in how hard they continued to play. And as it turned out, by the end of the year, they were one of only three teams since the NFL merger in 1970 to go from 1-5. To the playoffs. So I think that speaks well of Indianapolis. I'm not sure if the rivalry is true. I've seen some things out of Indianapolis, particularly from one of their columnists, you know, suggesting that there's still this lingering bitterness from Deflategate. And, of course, you know, there's the situation with Josh McDaniels that has been and will continue to be revisited. He's going to go back and call plays against Matt Eberflus, who's the defensive coordinator for the Colts, who was hired by Josh McDaniels. And, of course, you know, Frank Reich became the coach when Josh ultimately, you know, walked away from the altar and decided to come back to New England. But, yeah, it's not the same to me as Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, and I don't even think it's, you know, you could say, well, this is, you know, the early years of luck against the Patriots when they were playing in the playoffs in an AFC championship game. It's an important game. There will be a playoff-like atmosphere, playoff-like ramifications to it. But, you know, I think that the personalities of the teams, and I think the personnel of the teams is so different than, you know, the core of the teams that played each other year after year after year, you know, and created that so-called rivalry.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun. Saturday night, Lucas Oil Stadium, Colts and the Patriots going at it. Bob and Scott Zolak with the call on the Sports Hub, 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. Bob, we appreciate you stopping by as always. Enjoy the game, and also hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday.
Hey, Rich, I really appreciate it, and likewise to you and yours and all of your listeners. Always enjoy catching up with you, and hopefully we can do it again before too long. And you know, if we don't do it by the end of the regular season, hopefully we're doing it in a long postseason.
There you go. That sounds great to me. Thank you, Bob. Be well.
Take care, Rich. You too.
Bye-bye now, Bob. So-